हरिः ओम् सदाशिवसमारम्भां शङ्कराचार्यमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्तां वन्दे गुरुपरम्पराम् मौनव्याख्याप्रकटितपरब्रह्मतत्त्वं युवानं वर्षिष्ठान्ते वसतृषिगणैः आवृतं ब्रह्मनिष्ठैः आचार्येन्द्रं करकलितचिन्मुद्रमानन्दरूपं स्वात्मा रामं मुदितवदनं दक्षिणामूर्तिमीडे वडविटभिसमीपे भूमिभागे निषण्णं सकलमुनिजनानां ज्ञानदातारमारात् त्रिभुवनगुरुमीशं दक्षिणामूर्तिदेवं जननमरणदुःखक्षेदच्छेददक्षं नमामि चित्रं वटतरोर्मूले वृद्धा शिष्या गुरोर्युवा गुरोस्तु मौनं व्याख्यानं शिष्यास्तु छिन्न संशयाः निधये सर्वविद्यानां भिषजे भवरोगिणां गुरवे सर्वलोकानां दक्षिणामूर्तये नमः ॐ नमः प्रणवार्ताय शुद्धज्ञानैकमूर्तये निर्मलाय प्रशान्ताय दक्षिणामूर्तये नमः ईश्वरो गुरुरात्मेति मूर्तिभेदविभागिने व्योमवद्व्याप्तदेहाय दक्षिणामूर्तये नमः विश्वं दर्पणदृश्यमाननगरी तुल्यं निजान्तर्गतं पश्यन्नात्मनि मायया बहुरिवोद्भूतं यथा निद्रया यः साक्षात् कुरुते प्रबोधसमये स्वात्मानमेवाद्वयं तस्मै श्रीगुरुमूर्तये नम इदं श्रीदक्षिणामूर्तये बीजस्यान्तरिवाङ्कुरो जगदिदं प्राङ्निर्विकल्पं पुनः मायाकल्पितदेशकालकलनां वैचित्र्यचित्रीकृतं मायावीव विजृम्भयत्यपि महायोगी वयः स्वेच्छया तस्मै श्रीगुरुमूर्तये नम इदं श्रीदक्षिणामूर्तये. सो वी ऑलरेडी सा इन द प्रीवियस वेबिनार दैट द त्वं पदार्थ हैज बीन एक्सप्लेन्ड इन द फर्स्ट श्लोक एंड द तत् पदार्थ हैज बीन एक्सप्लेन्ड इन द सेकंड श्लोक एंड नाउ इन द थर्ड श्लोक अनदर इंपॉर्टेंट श्लोक दैट वी आर गोइंग टू रीड वी विल एंटर इन टू द असि पदार्थ which tells about the identity between the Jivatma and Paramatma. So let us read the third shloka. Yasyaiva spuranam sadatmakam asat kalpartakam bhasate sakshat tattvam asiti vedavachasa yo bodhayatyashritan yat sakshat karanat bhavena punaravrittir bhavambo nidau तस्मै श्रीगुरुमूर्तये नम इदं श्रीदक्षिणामूर्तये. नौ द आचार्य ही अप्रोचेस दिस पर्टिक्युलर टॉपिक इन अ सर्टन वे विच वी हैव टू फर्स्ट अंडरस्टैंड बिफोर वी गो इनटू द एक्चुअल मीनिंग ऑफ द श्लोक लेट अस फर्स्ट अंडरस्टैंड द कॉन्सेप्ट बिहाइंड द डेवलपमेंट ऑफ दिस श्लोक. सो नाउ इन वेदांत any object that is not existent cannot be experienced by me. For example, we experience the world of objects in front of us and we come to know that there is a world which exists in front of me because I experience that. So any non-existent object cannot be experienced by me. So, for example, I do not experience the horn of a horse or something. Why? Because not that I don't have eyes, but they are non-existent. So, a simple and fundamental fact is an existent object is experienced and a non-existent object cannot be experienced. And so, the entire experienced world should be taken as existent world. Because this is the conclusion. Even though we do not generally say that, we take it for granted. we are focusing on that topic because we should not take it for granted. So that the entire development of this argument is going to be based on this understanding. So the whole world is an existent world, and since it is understood by all of us, we do not add that adjective, but it is a fact. So when we say, for example, this book, we understand that it is an existent book, existent table, existent computer, existent light. That is why in English we say there is a book, there is the star, there is the table. So all world of objects, they all enjoy what is known as existence. They are all endowed with existence. Now the question is what? What is the nature of that existence? There is a very significant study by all systems of philosophies to understand the nature of existence. Satta, we call it in Sanskrit as Satta. What is its nature, the nature of existence? So different systems of philosophies have different interpretations for this existence. Exactly like the consciousness. Different systems of philosophies have different interpretations for consciousness. So consciousness is a mystery for a scientist even now. It is going to be a mystery forever. Existence is a mystery for all philosophers. Consciousness is a mystery for scientists all the time. Existence is a mystery for all philosophers. And Vedanta has a very unique perception regarding the nature of existence. And it is presented by Vedanta with fivefold features, which is exactly the same, similar to the description of consciousness. Actually, we have been talking about the fivefold description of consciousness earlier. The same thing we have to apply for existence also here. For those who have attended the previous Vedanta lectures, they would have known, but I am going to only summarize them here. So what are the fivefold features of consciousness, if you want to ask? If you don't remember, actually, for those who have attended it, I will repeat it now. The same thing has to be applied for existence also. Whatever was told earlier for consciousness has to be extended to existence also now. So the first point is what? Consciousness is not a product. It is not a property, or it is part of the body. Even though in our experience, consciousness seems to be the property of the body. So this is the first principle that we should understand. According to Vedanta, consciousness is not a property. Similarly, Vedanta says that existence also is not a product, is not a part or property of the world of objects. When I say, for example, the mic is, the isness is not the property of the mic. It is not part of the mic, not even a product of mic. But it is something experienced by me because I say mic is. That isness. So this is point number one. And when we take the second point, consciousness is an independent entity that pervades and enlivens the body and makes the body conscious. Vedanta says existence also is an independent entity. It is not an adjective, but it is a noun. If you think it is an adjective, then Vedanta calls it as delusion, moha. Fact is what? Existence is an entity itself, which pervades and makes every object existent. So when you look at the existence as a property, then we write it with a small e, existence with a small e. But when you look upon existence as an independent entity, we write it as capital E, existence. This is the point number two. And then when you go to the third point, consciousness is not limited by the boundaries of the body. It extends beyond the body. It is all pervading. In the same way, Vedanta says, existence also is not limited by the boundaries of the object. That means what? See how the Vedanta, you know, is getting subtler and subtler now. When I say the mic is, Vedanta says the isness of the mic is not only in the mic, but extends beyond the mic also. This will be all confusing. Existence is not limited by the boundaries of the object. It goes beyond. It is all-pervading. It is sarvagataha. That is the third point. And the fourth one is, consciousness continues to exist even if the body is destroyed. As a separate, independent entity, it continues to exist even after the destruction of the body. And Vedanta says here also, existence exists even after the destruction of the object which it enlivens. Is really confusing. Means what? The isness will continue to exist even after, for example, this computer is destroyed. The computer goes, but the isness of the computer doesn't go. Like, for example, the body might go, but the consciousness doesn't go away. So this is the fourth feature. Existence is eternal, nityaha. And the fifth feature is, once the body goes away, the surviving consciousness will not be recognizable because the recognizing medium, the body, is gone. So we can touch perhaps and check ourselves. For example, light is falling on my hand. When I remove the hand, light continues to be still there, but the surviving light is not recognizable, not because of its absence, but because of the absence of the medium, namely my hand. The light falls on my hand. Once I remove my hand, light is still there, only I am not able to recognize it because the falling medium is gone. So even when the whole world is destroyed, the existent, the sat or satta, that survives. So sat was, sat is, and sat ever will be, lending existence, satta, to the arriving, departing world of objects. So these are all various principles we should understand. And Vedanta says, this satta is called Paramatma. This existence, capital E, that alone is called Paramatma. Pure existence, which you separate from the world and understand that. We have to understand, separate this pure existence from the world and understand it. And out of the body, we separate the body part and squeeze out the consciousness. That is called Jivatma. So from the body, separate the body part and squeeze out the consciousness out of it. Then it is called Jivatma. So Jivatma is pure consciousness and Paramatma is pure existence. And Vedanta says that this pure existence lends existence to the world and this pure consciousness lends consciousness to the body. So both this pure existence and pure consciousness are one and the same. That is what Vedanta teaches us. So tat, tvam, asi, that indicates that existence is consciousness and consciousness is existence. And it is existent consciousness which makes the body sentient, which enlivens the body and which makes the world existent. This recognition of the oneness of existence and consciousness is Jivatma Paramatma Aikya Jnanam, which is going to be the essence of this particular shloka. So these are the concepts we have to first understand before we approach this shloka. That is why I summarize the entire thing in a nutshell. And Shankaracharya says, whichever guru manages to communicate this identity of pure existence and pure consciousness, which is very, very difficult to communicate, as you would have perhaps already realized, whichever guru successfully communicates, that guru is Dakshinamurti. My namaskaram to that guru. This is going to be the essence of this shloka. And in this shloka, Shankaracharya brings out the Mahavakyam, Tat Tvam Asi. Tat indicates Paramatma, as we told earlier. Tvam indicates the Jivatma. And the word asi indicates that oneness or aikyam. And so Mahavakyartha is Jivatma Paramatma aikyam. Now when we say that when the body and the world are removed, the pure existence and the pure consciousness, they must be remaining. Because that is what our argument always up to this point has been. So because we said existence survives even if the world goes and consciousness survives, even if the body goes away, because we said that, so they should survive. Then the question will be, how can I appreciate pure existence, consciousness, without association with any object? Because all objects are gone. How can I appreciate pure existence, consciousness, without the association with any object? I am able to appreciate them along with objects and body right now. Once the object and body are removed, pure, formless existence consciousness survives. That's what the Shastra says. Then how can I appreciate the pure existence consciousness? That will be the question. And the Shastra says, you will never be able to appreciate the pure existence consciousness once you remove the world and body, because your appreciation is invariably along with the object and the body. The pure thing you can never appreciate. That's what Shastra Vedanta teaches us. Vedanta says, it is because you yourself are that pure existence consciousness. You cannot objectify yourself. It is being the very subject itself, it is never available for objectification. Therefore, tat means that pure existence consciousness is you, the jivatma, the very subject itself. So, tat, tvam, asi. It is not something for objectification, it is meant for what? Only understanding. It is not for objectification, for us to objectify something, experience and to understand. It is just to only understand as myself. Thus, the Upanishad reveals the existence consciousness identity through this Mahavakya, Tat Tvamasi. And now let us look at the shloka. Once we have got this much concepts understood a little bit, then we can approach the shloka now. Yasya ivas puranam. Yasya. Yasya here means what? The Paramatmanaha. Paramatmanaha, tat padarthasya, that paramatmas, spuranam. Puranam, spuranam means manifestation. Manifestation in this world of objects. Is sadatmakam, satatmakam, is in the form of existence, sat, of every object. So, paramatmas manifestation in the world is in the form of isness, existence in everything. Every object is. When we say that isness, it is in the form of that isness. So when I say wall is, when I say mic is, the isness part is Paramatma. That is the existence principle. So the formless, all-pervading isness is the manifestation of Paramatma. And where is it available? If you ask the question, asat kalpartakam. And that existence is manifest in every padartha. Asat kalpartakam, there is another reading also for this particular word. It is asat kalpartagam. The last letter instead of kam is gam instead of kam. So it is another reading. Actually, it is an easier reading. Gam means located in, manifested in the medium of artha, padartha. So every object. And what type of object they are? Asat kalpaha. Asat kalpaha means mithya objects. An unreal thing is called asat kalpa. Unreal, mithya. So literally, asat kalpa means what? As good, as non-existent. Sat means existence. Asat kalpa means as good as non-existence. And what is as good as non-existent? Any unreal thing is as good as non-existent. Like for example, a fake currency note. Having the fake currency is as good as not having a currency at all, because it is fake. So, asat kalpa means as good as not there, which is mithya. We call in Vedanta, it is mithya. So, asat kalpartham means mithya padartha. And what do you mean by mithya padartha again? We have to ask that question. And every object in creation is mithya padartha only. They are all mithya only, mithya padartha only. And in that mithya padartha, Paramatma is manifesting as is. Is means the existence, the consciousness. So, just as when you say rope snake is mithya padartha, and the isness is the manifestation of what? The rope's isness is manifest in the snake. And in that Mithya Padartha, Paramatma is manifest as isness. So, Paramatma, Sadatmakam, Spuranam. Sadatmakam means what? In the form of existence, Sadatmakam. And Asatkalpartagam, present in every object, Vasate, is experienced for all. So, it's experienceable for all. So, it is exactly like the sunlight. For example, if you want to give the example, it is exactly like the sunlight. It is experienceable for all of us upon every object, the sunlight. As what? As the reflected sunlight. We can experience the sunlight as the reflected sunlight in all objects, the manifest sunlight that is experienceable on everybody. So, when I am looking at somebody's face, what do I... Not only I am seeing somebody's face, I am also seeing the face bathed in sunlight or whatever light it is. I never experience the pure face, but experience the formed face bathed in the formless light. You know, Vedanta talks about all these obvious things that we see every day in so many different ways so that to communicate its point. Similarly, Vedanta says, when we say chair is, we are experiencing the formed chair, which is soaked in what? The formless existence principle. So to understand this, actually a subtle intellect, buddhi is needed actually. So asat kalpat kalpat kalpartakam vasate. Now the question is what? How can I experience that existence in its pure form? I am experiencing the existence along with object. That is an adulterated existence, what I am experiencing, that's what I am enjoying. But I want to appreciate or experience this unadulterated existence, pure existence. So, nama rupa rahita satta, that's what I want to experience. Then the author says, sakshat tattvamasi, the pure existence you will never experience. You can experience only adulterated existence and not the pure existence, because tat tvam asi, pure existence is none other than you, the subject. What type of you? The formless conscious principle. Tvam pada lakshyartha. By now you are all familiar with lakshyartha and vachyartha and all that thing, so I don't have to repeat them. So tvam pada lakshyartha, when we say you, one should not think the you, the body, because body is not pure existence. Body is only adulterated existence with body nama rupa. When I say you, one cannot think of the mind also. Mind also is not pure existence. It is also existence associated with mind nama rupa. We cannot even take thought, the vritti, because thought also is part, is not pure existence, but it's also associated with thought form nama rupa. Then what type of you it is, I am meaning? You, the pure consciousness, which is the experience of all the thoughts, which is the witness of the mind, which is the witness of the very body, all that. So I, the Sakshi Chaitanyam, am the pure existence. So that is how one should understand the Sakshi Chaitanyam, the witness alone is the pure existence. And the Sakshi Chaitanyam is called Jivatma. This Jivatma is the Sakshi Chaitanyam, and Aham, the Sakshi Chaitanya Jivatma Yeva Shuddha Satta Rupa Paramatma Asmi. That is how I should understand. Aham, the Sakshi Chaitanya Jivatma Yeva Shuddha Satta Rupa Paramatma Asmi. So this is called Aham Brahma Asmi. That is what is communicated here. So the teacher, he teaches simply Tattvamasi through this shloka. And what the student should say now, once the teacher teaches this, when the student receives this knowledge, he should convert it into Aham Brahma Asmi. When the teacher teaches this, he has to convert this knowledge to Aham Brahma Asmi. And how will it be pure existence and consciousness without any nama rupa? How will it look like? I am not able to conceive at all, one can say. To be honest, better one should not conceive that way at all, because if you conceive, again it will be an object associated with some nama rupa. So it is not conceivable, it is not experienceable, because any of those things should be objectifiable. Only then one can experience. But pure existence consciousness cannot be objectified. For that, two examples are given, but these are all near examples, not perfect examples, but close examples. One is the space. Space is not pure existence consciousness, but the nearest example for pure Satchidatma, Satchidatma, that is one example, the space. And the second one is attaining in deep sleep state. That is also the nearest example for pure existence consciousness without any name and form. So try to conceive of space and yourself obtaining in sleep. And similar to that is I, the pure existence consciousness. So that is how one can perhaps closely approximate to this concept. And so the teacher says, Tat Tvam Asi Iti Sakshat Bodhayati. Up to this is within quotation actually. We have to see this up to this under quotation, beginning from Yasyaiva Spuranam. From that Yasyaiva Spuranam onwards up to this is quotation. There are two sentences actually. Paramatmanaha Sadatmakam Spuranam Asat Kalpartakam Vasate. That is one. Paramatmanaha Sadatmakam Spuranam Asat Kalpartakam Vasate. And second principle is Tat Tvamasi. Both are within quotation, we should understand. And Shankaracharya says, in this form, as given in the quotation, Guruhu Sakshat Bodhayati. Yaha. Yaha means Guruhu. In this here, Yaha. Yaha means Guruhu. Guruhu Sakshat Bodhayati directly reveals Paramatma. And what is the significance of the word Sakshat here? Sakshat Bodhayati. It has a very, very important technical significance. Shankaracharya, he writes actually commentaries to elaborate all these terms. Normally, when we describe something, the words give only what? The indirect knowledge. When anything is described through words, or when we read them in a book, they only communicate to us the indirect knowledge. This is called verbal knowledge, indirect knowledge, or called paroksha jnanam in Vedanta. And we get a concept of the object. We can hear the description. For example, description of Kailas or Badrinath or Manasarovar. One can hear the descriptions of all these places through books. So all these words about any of these places, they give secondary knowledge or book knowledge or paroksha jnanam. And this book knowledge has to be converted into direct experience later. When, for example, I go to Kailas or Manasarovar or Badrinath, to any of those places, when I go there, whatever I have learned and understood from a book, I am now trying to convert them to experience when I go there directly. So the book knowledge is converted to experiential knowledge when I go to those places. And that experiential knowledge is called aparoksha jnanam. That is direct knowledge. That is aparoksha jnanam. Whereas the book knowledge, verbal knowledge, is paroksha jnanam, indirect knowledge. So normally, words give indirect knowledge only, which has to be converted into direct knowledge by putting the effort. For example, by going to Kailas, by going to Manasarovar. This is our general experience. This is how we understand in every aspect of our lives. And when the student comes to Vedanta, what happens to him? He listens to the teachings with the same orientation. Because this is how we have been practicing all through our life, direct knowledge and indirect knowledge. And when he comes to Vedanta also, he comes with the same orientation. So what he thinks, I am receiving book knowledge from my guru. The guru teaches, so I am receiving book knowledge from the guru. And that is, it is only book knowledge, it is only indirect knowledge that he understands. Later, he thinks, I have to meditate and get direct experience of Brahman. That is what the student thinks. Because he is extrapolating his day-to-day life into Vedanta Vichara also. So when the teacher teaches, he thinks he is getting the indirect knowledge and he has to wait for some day for the Brahman knowledge to come so that he can directly experience and understand Brahman. So this is the general conception of a student. But Shankaracharya, he says here that in the case of Brahman, this division is not there at all. This division is not there at all in the case of Brahman, because it is an unexperienced object, and so you have got the, for example, the when you take about this Kailas and Badrinath, all those places, the object is yet away from me. In all those cases, the object is away from me. It is unexperienced object, and so we have got this division. Direct knowledge and indirect knowledge, such a division exists in those cases. But in the case of Paramatma, it is not an unexperienced object, because Paramatma is existent as existence, as consciousness. And is consciousness experienced or not? If you ask the question, is consciousness experienced or not? Every experience is taking place because of our ever experiencing consciousness only. Whatever experience we have in real life every day, all those experiences are all because of experience of the consciousness only. If you don't require one experience, it is the experience of consciousness that you don't require. If you don't require one experience, it is the because of consciousness only that you don't require, because it is all the time self-evidently experienced. We have gone through these concepts earlier. Even when I say, I do not experience anything, we say that because of consciousness only. So even when I say, I do not experience anything, it is because of consciousness only. And so Paramatma is all the time experienced as aham, as a conscious being. And I am talking about the ever experienced Paramatma. That's what I am doing all the time. How can we say then, I have understood the ever experienced Paramatma, but I am only waiting for the Paramatma experience? We can never do that at all. Because every experience that we go through in day-to-day life, they are all the experience of a consciousness only. So we can never say, I have understood the Paramatma principle, I have to wait for the Paramatma experience to come to me one day. That means this person has not heard the teacher properly. He has not understood what the teacher really taught. If a student listens properly, the Shravanam itself is direct experience. One understands and listens properly, the Shravanam itself, the very listening itself, is the direct experience. There is no more question of getting an experience later. Right at the time of listening, that is a direct experience. Because Vedanta is dealing with the ever experienced Atma Chaitanyam. That is what Vedanta is dealing with. And so the teacher says, Sakshat. Means what? Directly he reveals, without expecting the student to realize later. It is not something to be realized later. It is to be understood right here and now. The moment you hear it, you understand it. And if the student tends to postpone that understanding, he repeatedly removes the notion. The teacher goes on removing the notion. Do not wait for Brahma Anubhava. Brahma is Nitya Prakasha Rupaha. You don't have to wait for a Brahman experience to come to you tomorrow. So, Sakshat Bodhayati, directly he reveals, directly the teacher reveals. Whom does he reveal this? Ashritan Bodhayati, Ashritan, Sishyan, those who have surrendered unto him, those who have taken refuge in the teacher, those who are dependent on him for this knowledge, to those people, for what? Knowledge. They are all dependent on the teacher for knowledge, because he is the Pramanam. The teacher is the authority to give that knowledge. So they depend on the teacher to give that knowledge. So Guru whom Sakshat Bodhayati. How? Tat Tvam Asi Vachasa. Through the Mahavakyam Tat Tvam Asi. And how does the Guru get this knowledge? The Guru himself, how does he get this knowledge? Did he get this through some intuition? He sat under a tree and got it? It is another thing. You sit in samadhi, intuition develops, and direct realization takes place. All those things. Is it something like that? No. Shankaracharya says, no, we do not believe in intuition at all. In Vedanta, we don't believe in intuition. We believe only in tuition. We don't believe in intuition, as Swamiji says, we believe in intuition only. If Guru has the knowledge, he did not get through intuition. But Veda Vachasa, he got it through the Vedas, Shabda Pramanas, taught by his Guru. And when did the whole thing start actually? Somebody asked. When did this teaching start? It started when the creation started. And when did the creation start? Nobody knows. It is anadi. That is what earlier we said. We have to think of creation as a cyclic process. We do not know when it started because it is anadi kala chakram. And so as anadi as the creation is the parampara of teaching also. The teaching parampara also is anadi. It has been happening all along. So with the help of this tradition, the Guru reveals. And that is why in our tradition, always the Shastra or Parampara is given more importance than the individual. This is very, very important. No single Acharya is given more importance because the Acharya gets the Acharya Sthanam because of the Parampara. Without that, he would not have got that position. So if you focus on the Acharya more and the tradition becomes secondary, then that becomes a cult. It is not a parampara, it becomes a cult. Hinduism never values or allows a cult to come about. Shankaracharya is never more greater than the parampara itself. He is not greater than the parampara itself. He is a great person, but not greater than the parampara. So is Vyasa or any acharya for that matter. So what is important? Not the person, but the tradition only is more important. And that is why our prayer also is what? Narayanam Padmabhuvam Vasishtam, the entire Guru Parampara, starting with Lord Narayana or Sadashiva, the entire Parampara is worshipped. So, Veda Vachasa Bodhayati Ashritana. Okay, now, what do I get out of this knowledge? What is the Jnana Palam of this knowledge? If you have to ask that question. Till now, I thought I am the physical body, the formed body. That's what I've been thinking. Now I have learned I am not the body with consciousness, but I am the consciousness temporarily functioning through this body. I am not the body with consciousness, but I am the consciousness temporarily functioning through the body. And not only I am the consciousness, I also lend existence to the body. I am the existence, lending existence to the world also. And where am I? I alone give two things, Chaitanyam to the body and existence to the world. Having given these two, the body becomes subjects. The world becomes objects and all the transactions that takes place in this world. And all the transactions are possible because I lend Sat, the existence to the world, and Chit to the body, consciousness to the body. So by lending Sat and the world, the drama, I will allow that to go on by lending existence to the world. And if you find it difficult, for example, to conceive, how do I understand all this? You are telling so many words. Then I am lending Sat and Chit and all that thing. Then we have to imagine our dream. In the dream, what do? In the dream individual, I alone lend consciousness. I also lend existence to the dream world. Lending Sat and Chit, I allow the dream drama to go on. Similarly, by lending Sat and Chit, I allow the world drama to go on. Vishvam darpana drishyamana nagari tulyam nijantargatam. The first shloka that we saw. And what is the advantage of this mission now? Shankaracharya said, yat sakshat karanat. Yat means Paramatma. Paramatma sakshat karanat. By this aparoksha jnanam, this direct knowledge of Paramatma, that is, I am the Satchidanandatma, I am the Satchidanandatma, by this knowledge, the advantage is what? Punar avrittihi na bhavet. Punar avrittihi na bhavet. Means there is no question of punar avritti, punar janma itself, for that jnani. Punar avrittihi means rebirth. That is not there for that jnani at all. Where? Bhava ambonidhav. Ambonidhihi means ocean. Reservoir of water. Nidhihi means reservoir. Ambaha refers to water. So, Ambu Anidhi means water reservoir, that means ocean. And what type of ocean? Bhava Ambu Anidhi, Bhava Sagaraha, the ocean of becoming, the ocean of change. That is that ocean. The ocean of Asti Jayate Vardate Viparinamate Apakshiyate Vinashyati. All the Shadvikaras, all those things happen, the Bhava Sagaram. In that ocean of change, this person, this jnani is not born again. And why do we say jnani does not have rebirth? In fact, jnani will say rebirth question comes only when there is a birth. If there is no birth, where is the question of rebirth? The prefix re is used whenever it comes the second time. First time we call it birth. The rekindling, rewriting, all those things come only when you have first occurrence of these events. So the question of rebirth comes only when he accepts birth. But jnani is not born. Jnani knows I am the Satchidananda Atma in which everything is born. I am never born. Whereas I myself am not subject to birth and death. The jnani knows. In me, the eternal existence consciousness, Shariram's are born and they go. In me alone they all go. And I myself am not subjected to birth itself. Whereas, where is the question of rebirth? When I don't have birth itself, there is no question of rebirth. As long as you have a doubt whether you will be reborn or not, it means Vedanta is not understood. If Vedanta is understood and a person has become Jivan Muktaha, there is no question of rebirth. There is no question of birth either. Because the doubt regarding rebirth comes because I have taken for granted that I have birth. The moment I know I don't have birth itself, there is no rebirth. So if I have understood Vedanta, I should never worry about Punarjanma or Videha Mukti, etc. There is no question of Punarjanma. And so, Ambo Nidhav Punaravrittihi Na Bhavati. Tasmai means to that Paramatma, by knowing which one is free from Punarjanma, to that Paramatma, who is Sri Dakshinamurtaye, none other than Dakshinamurti, the Lord, and who is Guru Murtaye, who is none other than my own Guru, Namaskaram to that Guru. So, Paramatma is Dakshinamurti, and Dakshinamurti is my Guru, and so through my Guru, I offer my namaskarams to Paramatma. Tasmai Shri Guru Murtaye, Dakshinamurtaye Namaha. So Gurur Brahma, Gurur Vishnuhu, Gurur Devo Maheshwaraha, Guru Sakshat Parabrahma, Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So to that Guru, my namaskarams. So with this, the Mahavakya topic also is over. So what is the Mahavakyam? The equation is what? Sat, the existence, is equal to Chit, the consciousness. Sat is God. How is the Sat is God? The existence is God? By squeezing the world, existence is God. And Chit is God by what? By squeezing the individual. And both in an intellectual mixer. Squeezing means don't think about squeezing and all physically. This is by extracting through knowledge. In an intellectual mixer, you squeeze them. So, sadeva chit, satyeva chit, and chityeva sat. So, that understanding, that is the Mahavakyam. So, with this, the Mahavakyam topic, Tattvamasi topic also is over. So, really speaking, the main teaching of Dakshinamurti Stotram is over with this first three slokas itself. We don't have to read anything more. The first three slokas itself completes the main purpose of this particular shloka. The later verses are only a form of commentary. The later shlokas are only commentary on these three shlokas which we just completed, which are going to elaborate whatever we have learned so far and give some more light into the actual understanding of the concepts underlining all these three shlokas, which we will see in the next webinar. Yo vedadau swara prokto vedante cha pratishtitah tasya prakritilinasya parasa maheshwarah Sri Krishna arpanamastu.